Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
72-70, Duke by two. Sarr to key the inbound now. Full court pressure from UConn. Sarr gets it in to Cam Boozer. Boozer back to Sarr. Now ahead to Caden Boozer. And UConn got a steal. Caravan for Mullins. Long three. He got it. Oh, he got it. He hit it. He hit the long three-pointer from the logo with 0.3 seconds left to go. I don't believe it.
Great call. Great call. No doubt about it. A big-time moment in college basketball. One of the great, great moments we've ever seen in the history of college basketball, to be quite honest with you. Right there last night, yesterday afternoon, rather, Duke University goes down courtesy of Braylon Mullins, three from the logo with 0.4 seconds left, you know, to win the Elite Eight and send the UConn Huskies to their third Final Four in the last 4 years. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. That's 888-623-3646. It's unbelievable what we saw yesterday. Major, major props to UConn overcoming a 19-point deficit, you know, erasing a 15-point halftime deficit, becoming the first team. I mean, you know, first number one seed, number two seed in history. 134-0 when somebody's been down that long, that by that much, and coming back to win a game. Well, UConn did it last night. Dan Hurley, a two-time national champion as head coach for the UConn Huskies, is in his third Final Four in the last 4 years, in position to win his third national title. Just take this into consideration. John Calipari has been coaching 34 years. He's got one title. Tom Izzo's been coaching 31 years. He's got one title. Dan Hurley, what year is he in at UConn? I got to double check that. But this man is on the verge of winning his third national title. UConn has six national titles since 1999. Six national titles since 1999. Well, my man Dan Orlovsky for ESPN, noted football analyst extraordinaire, graduate of UConn, and Molly Karam, our former host on First Take on ESPN every weekday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Our former host there, both of them are UConn graduates. When they sit up there and they call Storrs, Connecticut, the basketball capital of the world, it's pretty damn hard to argue with them when you consider the UConn women, led by Gino Auriemma, in his 37th consecutive NCAA tournament, 32nd consecutive Sweet 16, 25 Final Fours, 12 national titles, and now he's about to win another one unless South Carolina or Texas or UCLA or somebody else comes and stops him. We'll be interviewing Coach Close for UCLA at the top of hour number two right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. But that moment yesterday was spectacular. Make no mistake about it. And we got to look at it several ways. First of all, that was a big-time shot by Mullins. He's a freshman. He would shoot like 4 of 23 from 3 in the NCAA tournament. 0 for 8 against Furman. Was shooting like 17% for three-point range since over the last couple of months. He ain't been hitting shots. But that shows you the greatness of Coach Dan Hurley for leaving him on the court. It shows you his greatness. He's a McDonald's All-American. Mr. Indiana, going back to Indianapolis for the Final Four because he put him there with that shot. Didn't hesitate 1 second, pulled up, beautiful stroke. But there were several errors, and it's about how you're going to look at it. And what you got to do, ladies and gentlemen, is make a choice. How do you look at this particular situation, this particular scenario, as we unfold what transpired? Duke inbounds the ball, okay? They inbounds the ball up 72-70. With 10 seconds left, they inbound the basketball, okay? You've got your two best free throw shooters in Cameron Boozer and Isaiah Evans. Now, Isaiah Evans is on the far side of the court, and he goes fly, runs a fly pattern, and he goes down the opposite end. I don't know why. Why is he not charging to the basketball? Because he's one of the best. He's the best free throw shooter on the team. He's only at 86%. And you're looking at Cameron Boozer. You're the star, en route to dropping 27 for the game. You shoot nearly 80% for the free throw line. You ain't nervous. You ready for the moment. You know, he comes, he gets the ball, gives it right back to the cat that inbounded the basketball. He gives it to Caden Boozer, who is a reserve, who's also a freshman. And he panicked. What happens in a situation like that, you grab the ball, you turn around, you do not dribble. You want to keep all your options open, available to you. Okay? As he would say, you be strong with the ball. That's not what happened. Instead, he gets the ball near midcourt, turns around, dribbles, mistake number one, then jumps in the air to throw the ball, mistake number two, then gets his pass tipped, ultimately into the hands of UConn, forcing a turnover, mistake number three. Then after that, they come down, and Carabin gets the ball because he's usually money for the UConn Huskies, but on this day, he was neutralized offensively, and him being as smart as hell, recognizing that yesterday wasn't his day, but also recognizing he ain't the pure shooter that Mullins is, gets the ball on the right wing outside the three-point line and gives it right to Mullen coming up the rear. And this brother pulled up from the logo, 35 feet away from the basket, nothing but net money, straight out of Steph Curry's school of shooting. That's how he looked. Now, you Evans, the same dude that's the defensive play, that's the best free throw shooter, the same dude that should have been charging to the ball, as far as I'm concerned, that might have been on the coach instead of him. That dude was right in front of Mullins. Got to put your hand up. You got to try to defend. You can't have your arms down and letting the cat jump and launch with no impediment to his vision at the basket whatsoever. You got to be able to try to defend that. See right there, Devil's Doom, number one seeds in the NCAA tournament when leading by 15-plus at halftime, 134-0 until Duke lost yesterday. I just gave you a multitude of scenarios as to why that is. So on this particular day, you got to ask yourself this question. Does UConn deserve all the credit? Or does Duke deserve all the blame for blowing the lead that they blew? I give all the credit in the world for Danny Hurley and UConn coming back. You could have easily bowed out. They didn't do that. They fought, they scratched, they clawed, they didn't give up, they didn't lament, they didn't do any of that. But it's hard on this particular day to just talk about that and not find a way to give some love. Not only giving love to UConn, but you got to be critical of Duke. Ladies and gentlemen, the Duke Blue Devils have lost three games this year before yesterday. Three games, period. Yeah, it was yesterday included. Three games. By a combined 5 points. They lost to Texas Tech. They lost to North Carolina. And yesterday they lost to Duke. Here's the problem. They were up 17 on Texas Tech. They were up 13 against North Carolina. And by the way, that cat Trimble pulled up and hit the game-winning three against them from the right wing, just like Mullins hit it from the logo yesterday. And oh, by the way, you were up 19 on UConn. And to make matters even worse, you were up 14 against Houston last year in a Final Four when you lost that game. And so now a coach that we've been doing nothing but giving all the praise in the world to, because damn it, he deserves it, in John Schreier. Now we have to look at it differently, because you're losing these close games. You're not condemning him. You're not acting like he can't coach. But when you've got two dudes in the NBA battling, both battling for Rookie of the Year honors, and Cooper Flagg and Con Knipple, and they were both on your team last year when you lost a 14-point lead to Houston in the Final Four. When you've got Cooper Flagg as your Player of the Year last year, and now you got Cameron Boozer as your Player of the Year this year, and once again, you find yourself coming up short. Yo, people are going to look at you. People are going to look at you a little bit differently. They're going to sit up there and say, yo, man, How come he can't close? How come he can't get it done? This man is in his fourth year. 27 victories each season for the first 2 years. Last year, he won about 32, 33 games. This year, he won 34 games. Shire can coach. He damn sure can recruit. And he deserves all the credit in the world for the success that Duke has enjoyed. Three consecutive Elite Eight appearances, a Final Four appearance as well, mixed up in there. But the one thing that's escaping him is a national championship. Fine. Here's the other thing that's escaping him. He's losing double-digit leads. That is not good. Yes, Mike Krzyzewski coached for 40 years and had five national championships. I understand that. You're not going to win every year. But how you lose matters. How games are blown matters. Now, Coach Seth Greenberg and others will sit up there, and Jay Williams, former Duke standout player of the year, national champion as a sophomore, all of that will tell you that, listen, they put him in positions to win. I get that part. Had a timeout. Could have called the timeout. Didn't happen. So because all of that transpired and Duke was in that kind of predicament, you would have expected more. It didn't happen. And now Duke is on the outside looking in. And UConn is going to the Final Four. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. More about Duke losing or more about UConn coming back to win? Which side do y'all favor? I honestly don't know half the time. Because one minute I'm about UConn and what they did, and another minute I'm about how Duke blew this. And having these elite players and not being able to close the deal and get it done. I thought I was going to be saying the same about Arizona. And then I watched these brothers come back against Purdue, who was looking really, really damn good. They were giving it to Arizona. And then they went in at halftime. And it was like they said, you know, there's levels to this. We sick and tired of playing with y'all. And they just amped it up and put the clamps on Purdue, and Purdue couldn't do a damn thing. And Arizona, led by Bradley, led by Pete, ultimately go back to the Final Four for the first time since like 2005, if I remember correctly. I think Arizona's the team to beat, but I have to say this. I owe the Michigan Wolverines an apology. Happy for Illinois. Glad they're in the Final Four. UConn's got their work cut out for them. Illinois is going to be the favorite in that game because Illinois got some talent. But bottom line is that I'm happy for them. Michigan, to me, is a worthy story to discuss. Scott Lindenborg, he can ball. They can coach. I looked at Michigan, and I just said, I saw them against Duke in the regular season. I was like, I'm not enamored with them. They just seem to get rattled. I don't know if I trust their guards. I don't know. I just don't. Boy, have they made a lie out of me. I mean, they destroyed Tennessee yesterday. Destroyed them. It wasn't even a game. I've never seen Rick Barnes look that depressed in my life. By the way, Brad Underwood, head coach for Illinois, fighting the line now. He'll be on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to talking to him. He's done a hell of a job. Give credit where credit is due. Looking forward to talking to him, no doubt about it. The other point that I wanted to make up is like Duke and North Carolina both blew 19-point leads, 8 miles apart. Duke is 8 miles apart from Chapel Hill. Both blew 19-point leads. I still think UNC was worse because you lost to VCU. You lost to a mid-major. And, of course, Hubert Davis's job. That ain't the same as Duke, who lost to UConn. And a two-time national champion has been in the Final Four two of the last 3 years. And now going three of the last 4 years. Now, you ain't losing just anybody. North Carolina did. But that's neither here nor there. Michigan, I just wanted to say back to them, I owe them an apology. They look like a force to be reckoned with. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the national championship game is the nightcap next Saturday night, Michigan, Arizona. It wouldn't surprise me at all because I'm here to tell you, Michigan looks terrific. I totally underestimated them. Lindenborg, his brother can play. Axel Lindenborg, his brother's a big, and he built like a football player. Let's get that out the way. Got a handle, can create his own shot, can get to the basket, can finish at the basket, inside, can pull up with a mid-range, can hit from three. The brother can ball. Got to give him love where it's due. And Michigan, they coming. The Michigan-Arizona game is a pick'em game. It's a pick'em game. It absolutely is a pick'em game. 888-MAD-DOG is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Let me know if you disagree. You shouldn't. But just in case you do, you know the number to call up. Let me transition to another story. And this is of a sad variety. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not being hyperbolic. And I'm not being cruel when I say this. Tiger Woods is an addict. I have no evidence, no proof of this whatsoever, other than the incidences that he's been involved with. But damn it, based on that, I think it's safe to say Tiger Woods is an addict. An addict of what? I don't know. I don't know if it's opioids. I don't know if it's Ambien. I don't know if it's Vicodin. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's alcohol. I don't know what the hell. But, ladies and gentlemen, he was arrested this past Friday on suspicion of DUI after he was involved in a two-car accident near his Jupiter Island, Florida home. Police said Woods' vehicle clipped the back of a trailer, which caused his SUV to flip on its side. Neither Woods nor the driver of the truck pulling the trailer were injured. Woods blew 0.0 on a breathalyzer test, but investigators on the scene said Woods showed signs of impairment. He was arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor DUI with property damage and refusal to submit to a lawful urine test. That's what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, he was in an incident in 2021 in California where his vehicle flipped over. He almost died. He was in an incident in 2017 where he was asleep at a stoplight, if I remember correctly, and ultimately took him in for such suspicions. He's got a problem. It's time to say that. And I was listening to my man JT the Brick right here on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio yesterday. You know, usually he's on the graveyard shift. Nighttime, you driving, ain't nobody better in the world to listen to than JT the Brick. I'll tell you that right now. Mid-hours, you out after midnight, you out 2 in the morning, and you want to listen to sports talk radio, you listen to JT the Brick. I'm here to tell you. Automatic. And I was listening to him, but he was on this time yesterday, not in the evening time. And he was talking about Tiger Woods, and I wanted to say that JT the Brick was right on the money. Compassion is running out for Tiger Woods. He got his money. He'll never be poor. He's fine. But you talk about somebody that whose image has fallen off a cliff. We don't have to bring up the stuff when his wife beat his ass. We don't have to bring that up. We know what he was doing. Okay? We don't even need to repeat what he was doing. He put porn stars to shame. We don't even need to go any further than that. Okay? I'm talking about in terms of the quantity of his activity. Damn. We don't even need to go there. Where we do need to go, however, is this. My brother, you got issues with drugs. And I personally suspect, I have no evidence of this. I don't know Tiger Woods never spoke to him or anything like that. I have no evidence of this. I'm just saying that I think that it's conceivable that it's pain meds. It's pain meds. I could understand that. What I don't understand is this tendency to get behind the damn wheel of a car. You're a billionaire, bro. You can afford car service. We are very fortunate, ladies and gentlemen, that Tiger Woods hasn't killed somebody yet. This is the third time he's been caught behind the wheel inebriated. I'm not saying this to castigate and vilify Tiger Woods. Who doesn't love Tiger Woods based off of what he's meant to the world of golf and sports? If you are in the world of sports, we owe him a great deal with the content that he's been able to provide for us, courtesy of his greatness for spanning so many years. But how forgiving as a society are we supposed to be with this proclivity or tendency that you have to get behind the wheel of a car when you're inebriated. Well, are we going to be we not going to be satisfied until he kills somebody? No matter what it is, it's opioids, it's Vicodin, it's Ambien, it's whatever. Bro, you can afford car service. I don't think it's too far-fetched for somebody to say to Tiger Woods, could you please stop getting behind the wheel of your vehicles? And you driving a Land Rover. Ladies and gentlemen, I got one of those. It's a top-notch SUV, which will protect you from a lot of situations, from harming yourself, but it's powerful enough and potent enough to harm others. When are you going to stop getting behind the wheel of a vehicle? That's my issue with Tiger Woods. I hope whatever addiction that he has, that he overcomes it. God bless him and his family. All I'm asking for, could you order a car service, please? Most of the time, I have to go someplace, ladies and gentlemen. I have a car service. I make, contrary to what you might believe, I've made a penny to Tiger Woods' dollars. I have car service all the time. And I ain't on no drugs. Unless you count Zyrtec because of my damn allergies. Stop getting behind the damn wheel of a car or a truck. Tiger Woods, in my opinion, based on 2017, 2021, and now 2025, resembles an addict. Which means all the help that you've had all throughout the years, it hasn't worked. Because you're still doing whatever the hell it is that you've been doing. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you a quick story about myself. Because I've never been one to use drugs. Remember, I stay off the weed. It's not how I roll. But I remember that I had surgery. And I had shoulder surgery. And the doctor put me on Vicodin for pain medication. I was supposed to be on for about a week, wherever it was. I don't remember. It was about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. When the doctor took me off of it, I cried. I'm going to repeat it. I cried. That's how good that damn Vicodin felt. It was that good. It was that damn good. Because that feeling, hey, how y'all doing? You know, where your whole body is numb and you just don't feel anything. Oh, my God, I never felt that good in my life. And I didn't want to come off of it. But the doctor made me come off of it because the doctor says that's how you become an addict. And forbid me to took it and took the medicine from me. Percocet and other stuff I've tried wears right off. The Vicodin did something to me. I loved it. I didn't want to take it, get off it. It's the best sleep I had. It's the best rest I had. It's the best relaxing feeling I've had. I've never felt better. But it's addictive, and it's not healthy. So I didn't do it anymore. Even though I cried when he took me off of it, I still didn't do it. Tiger Woods needs to stop. Because if he keeps this up, he's going to kill somebody. Jupiter, Florida, up in the hills off of Mulholland Drive or something in L.A., wherever the hell he is, he has to stop getting behind the wheel of vehicles inebriated. He can afford car service. Tiger Woods, if you listen, it ain't too much to ask, bro, for you to order car service. That's all we asking. Don't get behind the wheel of a car, please. Just stop before you do something you can't come back from. Hopefully he's listening. Triple Eight Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Bruce Pearl, your calls and more up next. Don't go away. Lots to talk about. NCAA tournament. And, of course, Tiger Woods. I'm not going anywhere. Stick around. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show.